welcome to another podcast of Revival Today with Pastor Mark Choate, where our arms are opened and Jesus Christ is here to comfort and bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The message that God has placed in my spirit to teach and just to share with the body, the message this morning is focus on the promise. Focus on the promise. When we think of the word focus, it means that to really cause yourself to keep your eyes focused on the promise of God. It's so easy to get ourselves in a place in our life where we see everything else but God. This is the time where people and families are coming together to get ready to give thanks for the blessings that they have in their life. This is a time where families come together and they travel far distances to come together to give thanks. But do you know how many families cannot come together because they no longer see that their family is a blessing? There's so many people right now that haven't seen some of their loved ones for a while because they're hurt and they're full of unforgiveness. Sometimes the unforgiveness that is in our spirit causes us to lose focus on the promise of God. When I say the situations that you might be going through, I'm talking about everyday life situations where it feels as if there's no reason to be thankful. It feels as if there's no reason to look up and be excited about tomorrow. And because of that feeling, sometimes we forget that our praise is unto God, regardless of what we're feeling or what we're going through. Just like how we're in the presence of God this morning, and the sister began to praise God and said, we're in the house to lift God up. But sometimes it's easy to lose our focus on the promises of God. The focus of the promises of God is that we need to know that regardless of what we see going on around us, we need to know that God is still with us. And that he's going to keep you, church. We have a duty to give thanks to God for who he is and what he has done for us. That is not something, that's your duty. I want to talk about that today because our focus is being distorted so much that we use other people for excuses not to go forward in the things of God. We use other situations to cause us to not keep our eyes on the prize. Yes. It's challenging to come into the house of God week after week and still not have a focus.
Amen.
Look at how families come together every year for Thanksgiving to give thanks, and they leave the table fighting. They lost their focus. It was a time to come together and appreciate one another. But what's going on in families today, they come together and find a reason to come against one another. And it's also going on in the house of God. And God is saying that he wants you to know that we have to be okay with keeping your eyes on him.
Amen.
Because of the promise that he made. If you turn with me to Psalms 100, we always say this scripture. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. This is what God said. When you come into the house, come to serve him and be glad about it. How many this morning are glad to be here? Some of us were dragged into the house this morning. Some of us barely made it. and some of us are still sleeping. We come before God and we don't know that he says, come into the house and make a joyful noise unto God and be glad about it. But some of us, we don't know how to maintain our joy because we lost focus of his promise. We lost focus of what God said about your life. We lost focus of what he said you shall be. Because you allowed situations and people and family members to cause you to lose focus. But if you keep your eyes on Christ, you're going to get to the promise of God. Yay and amen. So it says, serve the Lord with gladness. There's an instruction there. It says, serve him with gladness. So you don't realize why it's important to come into the house of God and be excited. Because God is looking at it. He's judging your praise. He's saying to his angel, he said, he truly loves me because every time he comes in my presence, he comes with joy and thanksgiving in his heart. How many of you have received something from a parent or a parent give the child something and they barely appreciate it? And you say to yourself, they don't appreciate the good things I've already done for them. That's why, I'll tell you right now, this is why we got a spoiled nation. There's some people that don't have nothing to sleep on tonight. And we can't even say thank you, Jesus. We can't even give God a praise. We can't even serve him. But the God that I serve is a God that meets my every need. That's why he said, come into his gates with thanksgiving. It says here, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Nobody should have to pump you up to love God. It's like a relationship. If you're in a relationship and you can't be in love with one another, it's going to fall apart. This is what's going on in your life right now. Some of us are in love with God. Some of us are not in love with him. We don't have our true heart in the word of God. Our true life is not in the word of God. We got beautiful things and God has blessed us with beautiful children and we still think it's all about us. And God said we have to make it about him. We have to make it about him. So it says, serve the Lord with gladness. It said, know ye that the Lord is God. That's an instruction. You and I, we need to know that he's God. What is he the God of? Look at this. It said, know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Someone said, not we. Ourselves. So that means you think you're big and hot because you have little money. God made you. He kept you in your right mind so that you can get up every morning and go to work. See, that's God. See, we do testimony service and we barely have something to say. But don't you know that God has made it and he has provided your every need? Some don't wake up in their right mind. And then you still can't say thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you, Jesus, for yesterday. Thank you, Jesus, for my children, my husband, my wife. This is what God is saying. To give glory unto him. Because he is going to restore your joy. But he said, this is why we must understand that not we ourselves. So you, if you could have made yourself, look at how it is now. How many of you say, how many people once in a while have you had a headache before? Raise your hand. Have you ever had a headache? Now, you can't just make that headache go away. You don't even know where it came from. You ever try to just make it go away? Oh, come on. I got to go to work. I got to get up. That headache won't go away. You ever experienced that? Amen. The God that made you. The God that sees you. We think that we got the strength and the power to do all things. But we don't. It's the God that made us. Yes. I'm amazed because we spend our whole lifetime trying to teach our children and teach our family how to do right, but we don't make God the center of our life. Amen. I was talking last week how we're dealing with so many people that are going through mental illness right now because of depression. You got kids up under your household and you don't even know that they're depressed. And we have not taught them to love God so that they can pour into the Lord so that God can free them. Amen. This is what God is saying to each and every one of us, that when we come into the house of God, we must come with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Give God some praise right now. Hallelujah. Give him some praise right now. It's not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praises. That's how we're supposed to come. When you come into the house of God, that's how you're supposed to bring it. Amen. So that when you come before God, that's why you say, why am I coming to God every week? Do you even know why you're here? Is it just to have a ritual? Or are you here because you got to get gassed up? You got to get filled up. You got to get blessed. Amen. So you can go and fight the devil. Yes. You see what I'm saying? If you see, this is why kids and families don't want to go to church. I was talking to a lady at work, and she's Catholic, and she was saying to me, she said, my church has been closed down. And she said to me that when she would go to church, they have this great, beautiful church, and you know how the Catholic Church builds them up so beautiful? She said there would be less than 20 people there, and all of them were senior citizens. And they closed so many churches, and she was saying they were so upset that they closed the church. But you know why the churches are being closed? Because the parents have failed to keep on teaching them to keep their eyes on the promises of God. Reason why, the generation after you will not reverence God if you don't make it important. And you think that they're going to be able to go throughout their life with the mess that's going on out there. The addiction, the drugs, if you talk to your kids, they'll tell you, Mom, guess what they're doing in school? Dad, guess what they're doing over there? Some of us even got them in the... See, now I know because I was in sports. I played the sports. I did it all. But guess what? I kept Jesus first. When you teach a child that, when you teach yourself that, God is going to be glorified. What happened to this young lady? She was talking about the churches being closed. And she said to me, she said, you know what really hurt my feelings? I went to church and we brought my son. He was probably about 18 years old, and it was some kind of a ritual that they were going through where you bring your kids at a certain age, and they're supposed to go through, I don't know, it wasn't catechism, but it was another thing, some kind of confirmation. And the priest stood up and said, if there's anybody, any kids that were forced to be here, if you want to go home, you can. He was the only kid there that was 19, first of all. And you know, her son got up. He got up. He went, Mom, I'll see you later. And walked right out the door. And she said to me, she cried and she didn't talk to him for a long time. And I began to say to her, I said, but what does God really mean to you? See, what has happened is we're trying to get the children to respect a God that you don't respect. You're trying to get the children to do something that you're not even committed to. So the kids do not read your words, they read your life. Somebody say they read your life. If God is first, guess what? He's going to be first in their life. Because they're going to see that you love God in this manner. Amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the reason why I'm making this clear is because it says to focus on the promise of God. The promise of God has to be this understanding that, guess what? There is nobody that should be able to separate you from the love of God. Amen. You see, that's what you have to have in your spirit so that you can get to the promise of God. We can't get to be thankful if we don't learn to stay thankful. We're not going to get to the promise until we stay focused. Yeah. So the enemy's job is to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's not going to come and try to make your life peaceful. He's going to try to bring disruption. He's going to try to bring chaos. And you and I have to know that we got to keep the focus of God so that we can get to the prize of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. Now, when you learn to be thankful, let's look at this scenario. If I give you a gift, I give you my glasses, and you say what? See how she said thank you? God has given us gifts. He's given us blessings. And you know what we do? We don't say thank you, God. When we wake up on a Sunday morning, we choose to come into the house of God. It's not even a choice. It shouldn't even be a choice. Do you know that if I don't feel good, I'm still here? Do you know that if something's going on in my household, guess what? I'm still here. Amen. Do you know my children would tell you, regardless, I'm going to church. But it's something that I placed in my spirit when I was young, that God is everything that I need. Do you believe in that? Yes. Do you want your children to have a fighting chance? Then you must sow the things of God into their life. That means you just have to grow it in their life. You have to make sure you water it. That means, you see what I'm saying? What we want is something easy. I had somebody, it just blew me away. And somebody had said to me, Pastor, you know, if you want my kids, you're going to have to come by and get them. And I was blown away by it because no offense to them. If you want my kids to come to church, you got to come by and get them. But let me be honest. All right. When you sign up your kids to play on a basketball or football or band, do you bring them or do the pastor got to go get them or the coach got to go get them? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you volunteer for something, if it's any sport or the teacher's community, teacher's board or whatever you do, you have to find a way to get there. But yet what we do with the house of God, we don't have that joy in our heart. With our children, we're like, well, you can go if you want to. Maybe you don't want to go. But do you know how many kids are fighting addiction right now? They're being tested with drugs and alcohol. And we think that we can scare that away. We think we can have, oh yeah, by the way, all what you gotta do is just say no. Or by the way, you know, you keep playing them sports, you're gonna just be fine because all of them are good kids. The bad kids don't play sports. That's a lie straight from hell. The kids that are playing sports are out there sneaking and doing the drugs too and drinking. When they're not with the parents that are helicoptering over them at every move and everything they do, when they get free to do what they want, they take off and act wild. Because you haven't placed the Lord in their spirit where they fear God and not you. God is saying, keep your eyes on the promise that he made. Yeah. Keep your eyes on the promise. The next scripture that I had, let me end here, says here, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth, and that's a part. His truth, someone say that with me, his truth endureth to all generations. You see, that's the word of God. His truth is for all generations. So if the churches are closing down, it's because, see, the generations are the kids that are in the body. And when the church can't stand, see, it's good if you're getting ready to, you know, I'm 80 years old and I did everything I wanted to do. You're trying to get these kids that are just full of life, full of excitement to go to a dead church. Go to a church where you barely want to even go to. You see what I'm saying? That's why the house of God, he said, make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Give God some praise right now. Come to his courts with thanksgiving. See, so when you think about Thanksgiving, it's about learning to come with excitement and coming to his courts of praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't drag yourself before the King of glory, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of your life, slugging around and barely want to be here. But come and give God your all. The scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody say, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. See, now when you learn that, you understand the will of God for your life. Some of us been praying, Lord, what's the will for my life? Lord, I don't hear from you. You never told me what I am in the kingdom. Because first of all, you don't even know how to just be thankful. You don't even know how to be excited to be around him.
Amen.
Some of us do like this. I remember like Bible study. I know those that want to come out the Bible study, they want to get in the word. They want to know the little do's and don'ts. Some of us don't want to know that. You know why? Because we don't want to really change our life. But we need to know the word of God. So when you come into his courts with thanksgiving, you're saying, Lord, I'm just so happy to be in your presence. I'm coming into your house just to say thank you. I come to the church to say thank you and to love on you, because what you do for me, I can't outgive. What God has done for you, you can't outgive. So that means the God that you serve, you got to say that he's the Lord of my life. He's the Lord of my children's life. He's the Lord of my cat's life. Well, think about it. He made everything. God is the Lord of all things. So keep your eyes on the promise of God and not on the foolishness that's going on around you. Those that you that want a marriage to stay together, you got to submit to one another. Keep your eyes on the promise of God. Don't look at the situation, but see the promise of God. See, he said he will bless you and your household if you keep yourself focused on the promise of God. Those of you where your children are disobedient and don't want to come, you keep your eyes on the promise of God. He said he's going to do it, so that settles it. So stop blaming God and stop. So you, what we do is we blame God, and then we don't serve him. Oh, Lord, well, you didn't do it, so, you know, I ain't going. Then what we do with God? Well, right now things don't look right, so I ain't going. I was watching a show called Yana fixed my life, something like that. She fixing everyone's life. She just fixing lives. She fixed them lives, yeah. And the thing is she's got a good work, but you know, without God, the life is still going to be a mess. But she was talking to a young brother, and he was saying, you know, I experienced some things in my life from a child. These brothers went to jail for 20 years. You know how old they were when they went to jail? They were like 17. And most of them went to jail for killing someone. That one, and you know what? Most of the situations in their life was all of them were saying, I didn't have a daddy. I didn't have somebody that loved me. I didn't have. See, you see what we do is we pour things into their life and don't just love on them. We don't tell them that the love of God is what you need first. You can buy them a car, you can buy them a house, you can buy them a brand new pair of shoes, but if there's nothing in their soul will not be satisfied. Someone said, my soul will not be satisfied. Your children, your family members, they all have a soul. You have to tend to the soul before the natural. So as she was fixing their life and trying to explain every scenario, they were hurt from the past and they could not forgive. So their unforgiveness caused them to chase after their friends in the world. One of them said, well, my mother was so strict, so I left. And I started hanging with my boys. And he said, yeah, and what happened was I killed my best friend. He had a gun. They got in a little fight. He killed his best friend. He went to jail for 22 years. Now, think about this. He got in a fight. He was mad at the family that he had with the mother that was trying to help him. He went out there with his boys that he was hanging out with, and they were running around doing drive-bys, and he made a mistake and killed his own friend in a fight. See how the devil works? You think that you were leaving a bad situation, but what happened? He went into a worse situation, and he couldn't change it overnight because of the spirit of unforgiveness. The devil is, what he does is this. He wants us to get in a place in our life where we're complainsive. We complain about everything. We don't stay focused on the promise of God. So what you do is you focus on the mess. You focus on the things that people didn't do to you or what they done to you. But God is saying, when you come into my house, first of all, come and say, thank you, Jesus. I don't care if me and my family not getting along. I'm going to come into my house, into your house, and say, thank you. What we do is we come into God's house and make a deal. Well, I'm going to be here this Sunday. But if you don't do me right, I'm not coming next Sunday. No, God said, when you come into his house, you come and praise him and say, God, regardless of what my situation is, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to come in with the fire of thanksgiving. Do you know what it does when you're excited and you go to your parents and say, Dad, I love these shoes? They want to give you more. But we've got a spoiled spirit where we don't love God. We don't love what he's already done for us. We don't love that he woke us up this morning and kept us in our right mind. We don't love that. We don't love that he's giving you breath to breathe. Hallelujah. We don't understand that. But I'm telling you right now, keep focus on the promise. So it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So in everything, give thanks. Remember that. That's the will of God concerning you. You. So don't come into the house of God without giving him thanks. I don't care if you had a fight with your husband or wife. You come into the house of God and give thanks anyway. I don't care if your kids woke up this morning, wasn't in the bed that morning. You still come in and give thanks to God because God is watching over them. See, this is what I'm trying to say is the devil's trying to remove the covering from over their head. And you're allowing him to have access to you and your family and your situation because you're not giving thanks to God. Just all you have to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for my family. Thank you, Jesus, for my job. Thank you, Jesus, for my car. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done for me. That's all he wants us to say.
Thank you for joining us today. And if the Word of God has blessed your heart, come on down and visit us every Sunday at 10 o'clock and Wednesday for Bible study at 7. 1850 Elm Street, Manchester. This has been Revival Today.
That he has cleansed me. Tell of his goodness wherever.